Hey, and welcome to the Full Weight of Joy podcast, the podcast for women who are done stressing about the weight of the world, of expectations, and settling for status quo, and ready to step into the full weight of joy. Joy in the journey, whether up or down, joy through the life's challenges, and joy in loving your life right where you are, even though sometimes we feel like chucking it all and moving to Bali. It's for women who are ready to step into who God called them to be. He chose you to be in this world. He created you for a specific purpose. God called us to be the light on a hill, and by embracing who you are and whose you are, you can stand on that hill and shine. The best part, when you're standing next to another woman who's also on the journey, the world gets brighter. My name is Tammy. I'm your host and a master certified life coach and a trained therapist. For over a decade, I've been helping women do just that. Step into who they're called to be and shine. Are you ready, friend, to start your journey? Let's do this. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. I hope you guys are all having an amazing holiday season. I hope that you're enjoying the Unwrapped series. And today I have a Hey Tammy for you. This is something that's come up a couple of times in a coaching session. And I was like, you know what? This is something that I think most women struggle with. Men too, but I'm going to speak for the women at this moment. But the question is, why does asking for help seem so selfish? So I thought that today I would address that, because this is something that even I struggle with. The idea of asking for help, like, let's be real. We all love to serve, to help, we don't mind in general being asked to help. It makes us feel good to help someone else. If we're capable, sometimes it's using our gifts that it really is actually what we enjoy most is helping, right? So the idea of asking for help is not selfish. But then we turn the tables around, because being asked for help isn't selfish. But asking for help does seem like it. And so I wanted to address that today. I wanted to talk about it because this is something that even talking with my coach, even talking with my friends, it's been a stressful couple of months. It's been a stressful, just a lot of things going on, a lot of things good things, bad things, it doesn't matter. Like, stress comes in both good and bad, right? Like, overwhelm comes from the world, whether it's a good thing or bad thing. Too much of a good thing is still not great, right? And so let's talk about why does it feel selfish to ask for help? I think that the first thing we'll say is we don't want to burden people. We don't want to put more. Everyone's so busy. We don't want to put more on their plate, which, let's face it, is not wrong, right? We can make a case for that. We could also say that, well, it would take more time to explain what I need than actually do it myself. Okay, again, maybe it might take some time. It might take a little more effort to explain to somebody what you want, what you need, than to just do it yourself. Little less truth to that, though, because sometimes there is, someone has extra information, extra resources, or they're gifted in a way that is actually easier for them than it is for us. But I think that part of it goes to beliefs that we hold. I think the beliefs as we're growing up, and I know this is part of it for me, being in a military family, self-sustaining, being self-accountable, taking care of it yourself was warranted. Like, not warranted, it was encouraged. If it's something you can do, just do it. Like, don't, just take initiative. Take initiative and go with it. And so I developed this belief that if I was asking for help, I was telling someone I wasn't capable. I was telling somebody that I didn't know what I was doing. I was taking resources from other people. It's a sign of weakness. When people ask me for help, I don't first think, wow, you are so weak. Man, you should be doing this on your own. And when I think of asking for help, that's the first thing that I think of is, Tammy, you are so weak. You should be just doing this on your own. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever, like, what are your thoughts when you think about asking for help or receiving help or even acknowledging that you need help in this moment, me acknowledging that I need help in this moment? I was talking with the kids and Kyle last night, and I was like, evenings have been busy. They're like, well, what can we do? And I'm like, dinner. We all need to eat. And it felt like I was saying, this is a job that is my responsibility. And I'm passing the buck. In reality, the kids are 1 week away from being on break for their Christmas break. Even though we homeschool, we still have a curriculum. We still have we still have a schedule that we keep. We have a community. So we have a pattern. We have our milestones. We have our deliverables. We have all of that. But they're getting ready to go. And it's the end of the semester. They wake up when they want, for the most part. Like, I wake them up, you know, when it pushes 10, I'm like, okay, time to wake up and get moving. They don't have a lot of things. They don't have a lot of sports and evening activities right now, which is why, like, I'm able to do things in the evening that I wasn't before. And when I asked them that, and immediately I felt a pain of guilt of I was giving them something that was my responsibility. Let's be real. Why is it my responsibility? Like, why should I be the one who cooks every night? 13 and 15 and 49. All three of them are capable. All three of them have a little bit of time. I know they're all busy. I know that Kyle's busy. And I know that Isaac and Lindis, they have schoolwork. And they also can take the chicken that is out on the counter and they can put some spices on it and throw it in the oven or throw it on the grill. Or they can come up with an idea for dinner. And I use this because I know this is something that I think till the end of time, us moms are going to, like, this is in our nature, even if we're not cooks, even if we're not chefs, even if we don't enjoy cooking, feeding and nurturing our families are, like, they're, it's on our heart. Like, we do want to nurture them well, and making sure that they are, you know, have the food they need is definitely helpful. But let's go back to the feeling of guilt. Why did I feel guilty? It's something that I should do. It's something I can do. I can take time to go. And if I would have planned, then I wouldn't have had to ask them. I could have just done it earlier in the day. I had a 30-minute break. Why, instead of, instead of reading, I could have gone and meal prepped, and then I could have had it done and got it done myself. We come up with all of these reasons why we should be the one doing it. And I want to challenge that. When has anyone come and asked you for help that you thought that they were weak, that you thought that they weren't capable? My family knows I'm capable of making dinner, even if I ask them to make dinner. They know, and I enjoy it. That's the part too, that it's like, of all the things that I don't want to give up, I really enjoy cooking. But I also don't have time right now. And so if you want to eat before 8:30, you're done at 4 with your schoolwork, why don't you make dinner? We have to work through these things. We have to think about, ask yourself, why does it feel selfish to ask for help? Are we really putting a burden on someone else? And let's face it, I mean, everyone is busy. But again, if I ask for help and they ask for help and we're able to do things that were within our gifting together, something that maybe is easy for me to do, it's like, oh, you want to, like, and they do something that's easy for them, then all of a sudden we have this system, we have this experience that is, the burden is light because we're doing things that make us feel good because we're helping someone else. We're also doing things in our gifting that comes easy to us. So a friend, my sister is great at meal planning. So having, like, there's times that she sends me her list. There's things that she will send me her freezer meal list that I can do. Because right now, though I used to have time to do all of that and take time to plan, I don't have time now. But because she's already done it, asking her for it is easy. And her work is actually, it gives her satisfaction because it wasn't just used for her. She also could send it to me. And now it multiplies the effectiveness. So why does it feel selfish to ask for help? And I want to challenge you that it's the stories that you're and the beliefs that you hold that are really not true that make it feel that way. That, because what happens if we did ask for help? What happens if we got our tasks done easier, faster, quicker? And what if we didn't do it all ourselves? How would that feel? Well, we could go into a spiral and think, well, now I'm, you know, this should have been, I should have been able to do this. Or we can say, heck yeah. Like, you get to change that perspective and you get to decide that, you know what, we're in this together. We don't have to do it alone. You get to decide that it's not selfish. And I want you to start looking at the patterns and listening to the thoughts you have when you need to ask for help and what your brain is serving you. What is it telling you? What pattern, what habit is showing up that's keeping you from asking for help? Because I guarantee that that moment, that thought is what's really is the selfish feeling part, not the asking for help itself. It's the stories that we tell ourselves. It's the beliefs we hold from, and it's not your fault. Again, like I know I've said this many times, and I actually think I need to say it more often. And so you're going to start hearing me remind you that it's not your fault that your brain is serving you this. It's not your fault that this is a belief or a habit or a pattern that you've been stuck in. It's our brain's way of keeping us safe. What happens if we're rejected? If they tell us no? Well, if I ask my sister for her meal plan and she says no, what's the worst thing that can happen? I don't have a meal plan and I have to do it myself. If I ask for help jumping my car and they say no, then what's the, you know, that say, sorry, I don't have time right now. I'm sorry. Good luck to you. What's the worst thing that happened? I have to ask someone else, or I have to call AAA, or I have to call a friend. Like, there's somebody else that there's another option. What happens if I ask for help with watching my kids and they say yes? Well, now I have to, like, now I feel guilty because my kids are going to someone else. Well, that's a feeling. That's a story. That is, you know, if you ask your friend, I guarantee that there's going to be time that they're like, okay. And then, do you mind if you watch my kids back? Like, we can do things, or, hey, I'm sure I'll watch your kids. Do you mind if you run this errand for me while you're out? Sure. I'm already out. I'm already that direction. There's, if we get into the habit of, instead of seeing it as a burden, we seeing it as a weakness, we start saying, oh, hey, this is what I have going on. I know you have something similar. How can we help each other? It takes a village to raise a family. It takes a village to have a life. What if we go back to this village mentality instead of doing this lone wolfing and feeling like it's all on our responsibility, that taking it and doing it ourselves is really what's needed? Friend, I don't want you to do it by yourself anymore. I don't want you to feel like it's your responsibility. There are so many things. And the hard part about this is, I know that there's something deep inside. There's a calling, a passion, a God purpose that's there, that you're so busy taking care of everything yourself that you're not seeing how He has a bigger calling for you. you're so busy doing the things that you can, that we can share the responsibility for, or even just asking for help and saying, I need to talk through this so I can figure out exactly what I want from it. Those stories that keep us believing that we're in this alone, they're keeping us from feeling connected. They're detaching us from the gifts that we have. They're detaching us from feeling like we're part of a community that matters. Friends, this is not just as simple as not asking for help. It's feeling like we're in this life alone. Like there's no one who understands. If we get rid of these stories that it's selfish to ask for help, that we're seen as weak, or we don't have the time to slow down enough to connect with somebody and see what we can do together, or how I can serve in a way that actually fills me versus just pours out and drains me. And so these stories that we hold that are not our fault, these beliefs that were placed in our minds, typically before the age of five, these patterns and these beliefs that are stopping us from having the life we want. It could be that asking for help is what's going to get you to the next step. It's what's going to free up your time. What's going to free up the mental space and that, like, removing those feelings that you're alone. That's going to help you step into who you're called to be. That gives you that margin to discover how you can make a bigger impact. And it might be as something as simple as when my daughter was in kindergarten, I had a friend who our kids went to two different preschools. So she was before kindergarten, preschool. Well, they both had Tuesdays off. So one Tuesday I would take the girls so she could have a day off and do her things. And the next Tuesday she would take the girls so I could have that time to do things. It actually worked out better because we worked together. Not only do we have a time apart, like a time to do our things that we needed to do, whether it was cleaning or errands or going and having lunch with a friend, but also our girls had time together. And when there's two of them playing together, you actually are able to do other things. I could get laundry done. I could do dishes. I can meal plan. The thing is by asking for help and creating a system, it made it easier for both of us. And that's what I'm talking about. Get it out of your mind that you have to do things alone. It's not selfish. And I'm going to challenge you to, when you have that thought of it's selfish, ask yourself, why does it feel selfish? And get curious, write it down and just ask yourself if it's true. I know for me, it's because it's one of the stories is I should be able to handle it. Strong people do things on their own. If I ask for help, does that mean I'm less strong? No, it actually means that I am stronger because I understand my weaknesses. I understand where my limitations are. Let's not even use the word weakness. Our limitations, because limitations are not weak. We're human. We need a village. So friend, I know this went over my 10 minutes. I tell you, I'm a talker and I get talking about this and I'm so passionate about it because I know that how you're holding yourself back are by these stories that you're telling yourself. And I don't want you to tell them anymore. These are stories that you can't see until you're looking for them. Your brain is really good at hiding them and spinning them around and showing and making you believe that they're you and not just stories or not just beliefs that don't serve you. Many times, and this is also why I have a coach, why I talk to my friends, why I ask for help when it comes to figuring out, okay, what it really is going on, why I get curious, and my journal and I have a lot to talk about, why I go to God and say, point out to me, show me where the blind spots are, and how do I remove them? And typically, they cannot be removed on your own. Typically, they're blind spots for a reason, because we can't see how we have wrapped them, how we've protected them, how we have allowed them to take root in our heart and keep us stuck and overwhelmed and feeling anxious. When really, if we just remove the stories, we remove those feelings too. That feeling of overwhelm, stuckness, and anxiety. So if that's something that you're ready to do, use the link in the show notes and connect with me. 20 minutes. Let's see what your next step, what story. And typically it doesn't take long to figure out what a story is that's playing in your mind and free you from it. To get lasting freedom from these old stories is possible. Using human science and the neuro-coaching model, we can actually remove those stories for good. We can remove them in a way that your brain can see the truth. And that's what I want for you. That's what I do for my clients. And that's what I want for you. So connect with me. Look at, get on my calendar. Join our free Facebook group, Divine Destiny, Embracing Your Impact as a Christian Mom. Your impact is there. I think we're all called to make an impact. We're all called to leave a footprint, leave a thumbprint on this world. We all want to make a difference. What difference could you make when you stop believing those lies that you're not good enough, or that you're too busy, or that you're that it's weak or to ask for help? What becomes possible? With that, friend, I'm going to leave you with that. And I'm going to challenge you to start recognizing some of those thoughts and asking yourself if they're true. Watch out for some of these patterns. And even if you can't hear the thought behind it, when you start looking for the pattern, you'll see it. And then contact me and let's talk about the pattern and let's find the thought that's there. With that, friend, choose joy until joy chooses you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.